Testing mic 1, 2.
Welcome to Seen and Heard, a podcast highlighting local musicians and the local music scene. Now here's your host, Dave Penn.
Welcome. Thank you for checking out the podcast. Now, just to clarify, my definition of local musician is Western Pennsylvania. It's where I've lived most of my life and the music scene I'm most familiar with. Now, my desire is to shine a spotlight on musicians who typically reside in and play gigs around Western PA. Obviously, my hope is that this podcast grows and expands so that local is any town, USA. But until then, my focus will be local and independent musicians around Western PA. Today's featured local musician is Jesse James Armijo from Vandergrift. I saw him play recently, really dug what he was doing. I'm going to get to all that in today's show. But first, welcome, Jesse.
Thank you.
Good to have you here in the studio. I've been playing guitar for more than 30 years. I've never learned how to read music, never learned like chords and structure and theory and all that kind of stuff. I just learned to play by playing. And I know you started out much the same way, didn't you?
I've had a few different teachers throughout my course of playing music. I studied a little bit of classical guitar in college from a teacher named Terry Muska. But my first guitar teacher was my dad. Back in the day, he used to play a lot of Spanish songs, and it was back when MTV had the chords going with the music video.
Okay.
And he walked in on me, he's like, "Who taught you chords?" And I was like, "What are chords?" He's like, "We're going to get you lessons."
Yeah, kind of the same way. You picked it up and were learning things on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And had to kind of do it that way. I know from an early age, you just wanted to play music for a living. That's it. That's what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an easy road. And I really liked a quote that I read you made about that. You said, "I'd rather try and fail than not try at all." But it was the second part of the quote that I thought was impactful. You said, "I quickly realized that failing was a part of it."
Yes.
Tell me about how failing was a part of it for you and how it taught you.
Well, if you want to play in these places, you're going to have to fail at those places too. You're going to have to learn something about you and measure where you stand as a musician.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of practice and a lot of courage to do it and dive in like that. But I had no other passion other than music for a long time. And I just had every ounce in my bone telling me this is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I know failing's a part of it, and you've obviously done a lot of playing out. And can I ask you to embarrass yourself and tell me a failure story? Like, were you ever playing out and like something went wrong?
Yes.
Something happened?
Yes. So my first time playing in Austin, Texas on 6th Street, trying to get to know the locals and get into the scene, I got on stage and it was a blues jam and I chose Carlos Santana, and they said they knew the song, but they didn't know the song. So I was already kind of juggling with that. And then on top of that, I broke a string. I was like, okay, no biggie.
Oh.
Then I broke another one, and this isn't my guitar. It's the house band's guitar. I just felt embarrassed, and I didn't have a car at this time. And I walked probably about 8 miles to get there and get back home from where I lived. But I don't regret that. It's sharpened me. It's made me better.
Yeah.
It made me realize, look, what are you going to do next time when this situation happens? And the next thing I just figured out, well, I got to find it somewhere else on the fretboard. I can't just give up. So it doesn't matter if I break strings now.
Now, I saw you do that firsthand. The gig I watched you play at my buddy's bar in Greensburg, you had a string broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to notice it when I saw, I guess, the light shimmering off of it and it was kind of bouncing around.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you just broke a string. And you said, it's been broken for a while.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
I didn't notice. You covered it very well.
You know, keep it going. You don't have to stop the entertainment because something like that happens. And it's when I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan do it. I saw him do it at ACL Live on YouTube. And he was just playing. And what was cool about it was he broke the string. He kept playing. And then his guitar tech came in when he had to sing and not play. Switched it right at the moment that he had to hit another note.
Geez.
And it was flawless. And you can find that on YouTube.
Oh, my. I'm going to have to look that up now. Stevie Ray Vaughan. All right, so let's change gears a little bit. You know, my dream has always been to own a Gibson Les Paul Custom, okay? Not just a Les Paul, Les Paul Custom. But unfortunately, they're incredibly expensive.
Oh, yeah.
My influence, one of my favorite guitarists is Ace Frehley from Kiss. That's why I got interested in, you know, Les Pauls. And every time I walk into a Guitar Center, I look over at the wall of Les Pauls and say, someday. Someday.
Oh, yeah.
And after 30 years of playing guitar, I still can't afford to put the money into it.
Oh, yes. She will be mine.
Yeah, that's what I do. I look at it. Yeah, that's about what I say. I'm getting close, though. Now, you have a great story about a trip to Guitar Center that changed things for you.
Yeah, I was going to give up on the music in Austin because I tried it. We were getting headlining shows, and no one was showing up because none of us were from Austin. So by the time they finally clicked on, let's let them be the openers, so that they can get some fans from these other bands, they went out of business. So I was losing a little bit of faith there. And I couldn't afford the new Gibsons that came out. So I went to Guitar Center to just go play them and just ponder. And I went and played some classical in the acoustic room and was just fiddling around, and I left. And this is in Austin, Texas, and I was running an Italian restaurant at that time. A gentleman came in and said, "Hey, didn't I hear you at Guitar Center in the acoustic room?" And I go, "Yeah, yeah." He goes, "You got music I can listen to." And he listened to it, and he was just in awe, and he loved it. And he's like, "Hey, come this Thursday and sing one on 6th Street." And I was like, "I wish I could, but I have a full-time commitment to my job right now, and I don't know how I'm going to work that in because it's so spontaneous when they ask you." So I asked my boss. I asked him, I go, "What should I do? Because I don't want to leave you hanging. And these are opportunities that are coming up that I feel like I'm just letting pass by. And I was wondering if you had any ideas of me getting to that point." He said, "Yeah, just call me. I'll come in and work your shifts."
Oh, wow.
And I've just been blessed with people like that throughout this whole journey.
People don't realize a lot of times the small things they do, how it can change the course of a person's life. And they go on with their life and don't realize the impact it makes. That's why it's always good to just be good to other people, and you never know, right?
Yeah. I mean, it went from, okay, one Tuesday, didn't hear from him for a month. Then he asked me to come play on a Saturday, didn't hear from him for a month. And then he was like, "How would you like every Thursday and Saturday?" And then that turned into 15 to 25 shows a month.
Phew.
On 6th Street and surrounding areas.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Jeez. Now, when COVID hit, obviously it affected a lot of people in a very negative way, especially you know, a lot of musicians in the music world. Thanks to the grace of God, you actually did pretty well during COVID. You created a website that allowed you to be able to interact with people while doing the social distancing. And so you kind of thrived through that. Tell me how you did that.
You know, that's all part of being in Austin and making good friends. You never know who you're going to run into down there. And there was a James Lockwood that helped me out with this website. He's like, "Well, what can we do to help you?" He's like, "Let's make a website that allows me to interact with the audience so that they don't have to get up out of their chair to talk to me." So they could make an actual request on the website, and it would go straight to my phone on stage without them having to leave.
Whoa.
And it left where they can tip me on there, or I left business cards on the table, and they had QR codes on the back of it to make it easier for them as well. And I was able to communicate with them. But bars were struggling to be open. They had to be a restaurant
in order
to open. So if there was a bar and a pizza restaurant right next door, they cut a hole in the wall where you can order pizza so they could stay open.
And that would
That's all they had to do to stay open.
Wow, that's amazing. I never knew that. It's the first time since COVID that I heard that people were doing something like that.
Yeah.
All right, let's get a little bit more current. Talk about what you're doing now. I'm always amazed at how technology enables us to do, you know, the things that we could never do before. And in the area of music and live performances, technology has really allowed musicians to do some pretty amazing things. And you're one of those musicians that I lump in that category of taking advantage of technology to do amazing things. You're just using technology to be able to bring music to people. When I saw you play live, I was impressed by how you managed to sound like almost a full band playing when it was just you. And you use something called a loop station. Tell me about that and how you use it for live gigs.
So the one I use is like the Swiss Army knife of guitar pedals. It is a Headrush loop station. It's the one before Ed Sheeran, the new one that he has out right now.
Ed Sheeran, you said?
Yeah, he has the... They branded it with his name and discontinued the other one. But you can still get them at a reasonable price anywhere.
In concept, I know what it does, the whole looping thing.
Right.
But you know, I've seen people do it like with a pad or something that they have up on top. Mm-hmm. You have this board that's right. just you stomp on buttons with your feet.
Yeah,
I mean coordination. Geez.
Yeah, you can program those pedals to do anything too, other than what it does.
Okay.
So you can have like saves to kind of jump to things. You can have different settings for different guitars. It has an input for your vocals with compressors and a gate so that you don't get any feedback. It has inputs for your guitars, and it has all the effects, tap delay, distortion, all different types of delays too, not just a regular tap. It's like dotted eighth and things that get into flangers, coarse, and all those things.
Wow.
I just use distortion, delay, and reverb, spring reverb.
But you got to know where all that's at at a moment's notice.
It took, like with anything with me, with style of learning how to play on guitar or whether it be technology, it'll take me about 3 months to kind of master it, to know where I can do things and learn all the tricks and whatnot.
So how many layers do you usually get going?
I think it's up to 3 hours of layers that you can add on each.
Or no, I mean, how many layers do you have going at once when you're performing live?
Oh, so I will either do just two, just a guitar and lead and sing.
Okay.
If it's kind of an intimate slow, I don't really need to bring all that in there.
Okay.
But if it's MGMT or Foster the People, I have about 5 or 6 layers.
Nice.
Yeah, that I'm just laying up, and I've already have prepped and knowing when I'm going to hit the next one and go right into it. Because the more time you spend, the more time it's going to get boring for the audience.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I saw you play, of course, a lot of cover songs at your gigs. And unfortunately for, you know, local musicians, if you want to break in, you know, you got to do those cover songs. But I know you also write a lot of your own stuff. I want to give our podcast listeners a little taste of what you do. And you're going to do a Santana song for us using the Loop Station, correct?
Yes, sir. Oye, como va?
Okay, and how are you doing that? Because people can't see on a podcast.
Right.
How are you using that?
So I always start with like the main chorus or the riff on the guitar, and I'll lay that down first as my bass.
Okay.
And then I'll do some percussion-y sounds with just muting the strings down and clicking it with the pick.
Okay.
We give it that vibe. And then just to give it like a shaker sound, I'll use my pick almost like a hair pick, just like grinding the strings. And then I'll slap the strings at the very bottom near the piezo, because it's a hybrid guitar.
Okay.
So I can switch from acoustic to electric.
Okay.
And by slapping it, it creates that kick sound. And then I'm able to play any lead over it by switching the guitar from acoustic to electric.
Okay, yeah.
And lay down the Carlos Santana solos.
So I want to make sure to explain that, because people listening, they're going to hear this weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to know what it is, but you're in the creation process.
Oh, yeah.
You're laying down different tracks and creating what's going to become a full song. And once you get, well, I would imagine, you spend time laying them down, and once you get to the point where you're done, then you play the full song.
Correct.
Awesome. So this is Jesse James Armijo, and he is doing Santana's Oye Como Va. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
My special guest today has been Jesse James Armijo. Jesse, on the day we're recording this, you have to pack up and head out to play a gig, right?
Correct.
Where are you going to play?
Ooh, I'm playing at the Pizza and Oven Co. out in Wexford.
You're in Wexford. Cool. Well, that's quite a drive, so I know you got to pack up and get on the road. Thank you, man, so much for bringing in your equipment, giving listeners a sample of what you're all about. Really appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
And last but not least, let us know, what is the best way to get more information about you, your schedule, what you do?
Honestly, I post regularly on my Instagram. My handle is at Mijo512. That's Mijo512. You can also follow me at my website that gives out all that information too. Okay. And that's going to be Mijo512.com. Mijo512.com.
Beautiful. Thanks and good luck out there.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Seen and Heard, a podcast highlighting local musicians and the local music scene. If you are a band or musician who would like to be considered for the podcast, send your request to DavePenn11@comcast.net.